Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Yes, our God is an awesome God. Isn't he awesome? He protects you during the nighttime as you sleep because he promised in Proverbs. And those of you who have never called out to God and asked him to do it, he promised sweet dreams in the book of Proverbs. So you want to end your night, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for sweet dreams. And he also says in Psalms 91, that he will send his angels to protect you. So one of the things that I do as I pray is I say, thank you, Father, for sending the angels to protect me as they watch the doors, the walls, the windows, and no harm and danger comes my way in the name of Jesus. And then, like Jesus said, you bind things that loose them. So we bind the spirit of demonic spirits, satanic spirits. We bind every dream that is not of God. We bind the spirit of pornography, the spirit of incest, the spirit of adultery, fornication, spirit of sexual immorality, spirit of gluttony. And we thank the Lord that he sends them all to the desert of the abyss never to return again. We thank the Lord with that. We go to sleep thanking the Lord. That's the way we pray. Don't forget the Our Father prayers. Good to practice that. It's good to say it. And God is awesome. He's faithful to his word. Jesus said in Matthew 3:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He's an awesome God, isn't he? Glory. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr., and your host is The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. You can call us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that, and then look for number one and press that, and you will be transferred over to the studio, and we'll be able to conversate. If you have a question, comment, or testimony, glory be to the Lord. And most importantly, today is Bible Mystery, so when you call, it's good to have an answer for the question that's going to be given. And if you have the right answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful pamphlet called The Tabernacle. It has the symbolism in the tabernacle. So it talks about the furniture, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory be to God. And the pamphlet is not thick and it's not big. You could put it in your Bible and carry it with you and study it as you study the tabernacle. Remember, Moses did the temple, the tabernacle, before they did the temple up, Solomon's temple. So the tent of meetings is the same as the tabernacle, and it will be portable. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord gave me that name for the church, The Way, The Truth, and Life Tabernacle, because in the beginning when I was a young Christian, I questioned God. I said, who is this arrogant guy that says that he's the way, the truth, and the life? And the Holy Spirit bid me to study, and I studied, and sure enough, I came away understanding and knowing that Jesus Christ, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Glory, and tabernacle means that God is with us. That's his name, Emmanuel, God with us. Tabernacle, the Jewish people celebrate the tabernacle. It's the last feast to celebrate the Lord's feast. And they build booths and they live in the booths for about 7 days or so. And it reminds them when they live in the booths, in the tabernacles, in the little rooms in the desert when they came out of Egypt. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be. So The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle is your host. One day we'll get into what does it mean, The Way, Truth, and Life Tabernacle. You know, what does it mean, The Way, The Truth, The Life? What does that mean for us? Glory be. Today is today's mystery, Bible mystery, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 30. And it says, and then the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. So the question is, why would the nations mourn? Why would the nations mourn? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to our study today, Bible's Mystery, where it seems when you look at the Bible, one Old Testament passage, New Testament passage, it seems like they contradict each other, or maybe two New Testament scriptures or two Old Testament scriptures, it seems like they contradict each other. But let me just tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. There's no contradiction in the Word of God. Glory be, glory be. Where you see two verses that appear to contradict each other, there is a mystery. And it behooves you to study each part of those verses so you come away with a better understanding as to why the writer wrote one way and another writer wrote a different way. Yet, remember, in the New Testament, they're quoting for the Old Testament. So why would it appear they contradict each other. Glory be. There is a mystery there. There is a mystery. And within this teaching that we're going to be doing today, there is another mystery that we're going to explore another day. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 29, and we're going to end with verse 31. And let's read the scriptures there. And if you come away with the answer, don't forget, you can call us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that, then press number 1, and you will be connected to the studio. You give your answer to the question, and the church, if it's correct, the church will send you forth a pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. But before we begin and before we go to Matthew 24, let us start with prayer. It's very important that everything that we do, we pray and invite our Lord and Savior in. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything that you have done. You are an awesome God, like the song says. And we thank you that you are mindful of us in this day. You gave us the opportunity to awaken from our sleep and slumber, go to the services, worship you in spirit and in truth. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And to receive your word so we could live thereby. Father, we ask that you remember those that are behind the scenes on Blog Talk Radio. We don't see them. We don't hear them. But we know that they're there. And we ask that you protect them and their family from every harm and danger that the enemy might try to bring their way. Hedge them about, Father God. Put your holy angels to surround them, Father God, and let the angels fight their battle so they could go forward. If there's someone out there who doesn't know you as the Lord and Savior, we would ask that your Holy Spirit draw them by your word, and they too could experience that personal relationship with the Lord, not religion, Father God, to glorify you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we lift you up. We thank you for that you are mindful of us. You are an awesome God, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that Jesus ascended to heaven. He sent forth back his Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us and direct us into all truth, the spirit of truth. Thank you, Lord. Help us to study your word. Help us to put it in our hearts that we don't sin against you. Father God, if there's anything there that is not pleasing unto you, if we have committed commission or omission sins, we repent of those sins, Father God, and ask you to cleanse us with the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you for sanctification, Father God. Thank you for glorification, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you as we go forward, Lord, with this mystery for today. Why were the nations born? Let everything that is said and done, Father God, bring you glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to go and see the first one, Matthew chapter 24. Let's go to verse 29. We're going to read through to 31. And we are trying to discover the answer as to why would the nations mourn. The question, the statement that's made in Matthew 24:30, all nations will mourn. Glory be to the Lord. So let's go into our verses, beginning at 29, Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation. Let's stop right there. Immediately after the tribulation. Well, my brothers and sisters, whether you're pre-rap, mid-rap, or post-rap, Jesus is coming right after the tribulation. I believe in the pre-rap tribulation, pre-millennium descension of Jesus Christ. So it says here, immediately after the tribulation. So something is going to happen after the tribulation, after the 7 years of tribulation, after the Antichrist has set up his image in the temple, after he sits down on the temple, says he's God, and the Jewish people reject them, and some of the Jewish people, because they see the calamity that's coming, they hide in the mountains. And that's what God told them, go hide in the mountains. And when Jesus comes back, he will rescue them. All Israel will be saved. Those that love the Lord will be safe. Glory be to the Lord. But something happens immediately after the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation. So obviously, if you're a born-again Christian and we believe in the pre-trib, this verse is talking about Jesus' second coming. It's not talking about coming to the clouds to call us up. This is where he comes down to earth to Mount of Olives. He sits his feet on Mount Olives. That mountain will split in half. Water will gush out and go towards the Dead Sea and heal the Dead Sea. So something is going to happen immediately after the tribulation of those days. So let's go on. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. That's number one. And the moon will not give her light. That's number two. And the stars will fall from heaven. Three. And the powers of heaven will be shaken. What powers? As far as we know, in the heaven, there is God the Father, the Son, and the angels, right? And those that have gone before us. But it says here, the powers of heaven will be shaken. Well, brothers and sisters, if you read the Bible correctly, in the second heavens, Satan and his angels or his imps reside. That's his area in the second heavens. Now, the first heavens is from the ground to the top, to the bottom of the clouds. The second heaven is from the clouds to the edge of spirituality to the end. And the third heaven, where Paul talked about, you enter into the spiritual realm. Glory be. Hallelujah. So here we have powers of the heavens. Well, what's going to happen is Jesus Christ is going to come down with his angels, and he's going to be on the clouds with power, great power, and he's going to call up his bride, his church, that's us. And we're going to be transported from the earth. Those that were dead in Christ will rise first. We that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. There's going to be a transformation from this carnal body to a body just like the one that Jesus has. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he's going to take us to our Father's house. Glory be, glory be. There's going to be a 7-year wedding. There's going to be the seder meal that we're going to have. We're going to sit down. He's going to present us to the Father. And all these things, we're going to have joy in the heavens. But down here on earth, there's a 7-year tribulation that's going to occur. The wrath of God is coming upon the earth and those unbelievers. When we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse 9, it says, the church, we, the body of Christ, has not underlined that and make it as large as you can. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, we have not been appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this wrath of God is coming upon the earth because of the children of disobedience, because of the Antichrist, because of the false Messiah, because Israel, some parts of Israel, are disobedient unto God. And God would allow this tribulation to happen. And in verse 30, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And then the sign of the Son of Man. Well, what sign is that? Well, Jesus said he's coming in the clouds with great power and glory. So apparently the sign is people going to see this beautiful cloud and someone on it, and he's gorgeous. He's tremendous. He's an awesome God, and he's going to come down. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. So you see that's part of the sign there. Coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They're going to see that. You might say, but Brother Ramos, how is that possible that people in the Middle East and the people in the Western Hemisphere are going to see the same event? Well, remember, these are the last days, and knowledge has increased exponentially. And a lot of people have cell phones. And what happens in Israel lifetime could be seen in the Western Hemisphere on the cell phones. And that's what's going to happen. Many people are going to point their cell phones up to the clouds because they're going to see the Son of Man coming, and the whole world will see that event. Glory be, glory be. And then in verse 31, it says that he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Glory be to the Lord. And remember one thing. It says, and they will gather his chosen. Well, brothers and sisters, we the Christians already will be raptured up. And some Jews that have accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior, people that know the Lord and have received him and who passed away, will rise first. And we'll be caught up to the clouds to be with the Lord forever. So where it says he will gather his chosen, those are the Jewish nation from all walks of life. This, you know, a lot of Jewish people have come to Israel, and you know, they see the restoration of Israel. They see the desert blooming with fruits and vegetables. They see the knowledge that they have. They're the ones who came up with the vaccine, with the healing for the virus. There's going to still be some Jewish people throughout the world, but those are Jewish people that believe. Some places we call Messianic believers. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're still holding on a little bit to the law. And, you know, they're holding on to the Sabbath. But you know what? God is not going to hold that against them, because even though they celebrate the Sabbath, they're still worshiping him. That's the key. We worship on Sunday because he resurrected on Sunday. But the main thing Paul wrote, it doesn't matter what day of the week you worship, is that you worship. The Sabbath day, the rest that we enter in, is every day. Every day we ask the Lord to cleanse us, to wash us, and we could be at rest, that nothing could be held against us regarding sin. We don't want no pride. We don't want no sin. We don't want no leaven within us. None at all. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to read the next section. Now, remember, why would the nations mourn? This is the Christians are gone. The Antichrist has established an image in the temple. He wants to take over the whole world. He brought in the one world religion, one world economic system, one world government, and many people have to bow down to him and, you know, take the mark of the beast. Mark of the Beast, that's another program. But the people take the Mark of the Beast, and when you read Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the great white throne judgment. And one of the things that you see there is it says people that took the Mark of the Beast will be cast into the lake of fire. Why is that? Because they, when they take the mark, it means they're worshiping the beast. And the beast is a copy of the Antichrist, who sits as God in the temple. The Jewish people are going to recognize that he's a false Christ there, because he's making himself to be out God, and he's sitting on the temple of God. And The Word of God says he makes the image to speak. How is that possible? Well, think about it. Today we have computers and we have holograms. And, you know, the hologram could be used to present the image, and the hologram could show the image talking. And if you're not wise, you could be deceived. And Jesus warned us, let no man deceive you. These are the last days. So we have to be very careful, my brothers and sisters, that we don't get deceived. We have to always test everything that's going on by the Word of God. Always test everything by the Word of God. Jesus said it, test the spirits by the Spirit. And he also said the Word is spirit and is alive. So we test everything by the Word of God. You know, we test everything by the Word of God. If it's there and it's of God, then we're going to receive it. If it's there or not there, we're not going to receive it because we know it's not of God. There, but it's not of God. We're not going to receive it because the enemy comes in. The Bible says, Jesus said it, he comes in like an angel of light. And he wants to deceive as many as possible. Glory be to the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 24. Let's read 27 and 28. Now, these verses come before the verses we read before, but we have to listen to what the word says. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 27 and 28. And it says, for just as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so the coming of the Son of Man will also be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you notice sometimes if you watch lightning, it's moving. And it's moving from right to left, from east to west, just like the scripture says. Then when it says the eagles will be gathered, well, you know, the Lord blessed my wife and I to visit Israel in the year 2016. And we took a bus tour. And they took us around the mountains there. And where we were at, we could the tour guide pointed out in the far distance, a small little town called Ramoth Gilead. And we could not transpose, so we cannot go across the area because it was a Islamic nation now that belongs to the Islam, and so we couldn't go there. But we saw some birds, real gigantic birds, and the tour guide said these birds come from Africa and they're here waiting for the command to go eat the flesh of the captains, the flesh, eat the flesh of the hundreds and the millions that are going to die at the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to defeat the enemy and everyone who's with him by the breath of his mouth, by what he says. He's not going to have to lift up his hand with a weapon. We will be with him as the army of heaven, but we won't have to lift up a weapon. Christ will defeat everyone with the breath of his mouth, as the scripture says. And we believe it and receive it by faith. We're not going to disregard and say, no, that's not for us in these days. But it is for us, for those that are going to be left behind. We're going to be in the heavens and coming back with Jesus Christ at the second coming to rescue Israel. He's coming to rescue the chosen, those Jewish people who fled to the mountains. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Joel chapter 2 and verse 27, and we're going to see what the prophet wrote down, because it's very interesting. What he says. Let us go to Joel chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're going to begin at verse 27. And we're going to read 27 and 28. And let's see what he says, Joel, the prophet of God, one of the prophets of God. He's considered a minor prophet, not because all the other prophets are greater than him. It's just he didn't write as much. That's why they called it the minor prophets. So a prophet like Isaiah, he wrote a lot. Jeremiah wrote a lot. Ezekiel wrote a lot. So those are some of the major prophets. And then we have the minor prophets. There are about 14 of them. So let's read what Joel said. Chapter 2, beginning of verse 27 and 28. It says, and you would know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord, your God, and there is no other. And my people will never be put to shame. And it will come about afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men's will see visions. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to the prophet Joel. And you know, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and he came and he sat upon each of the disciples there like a cloven tongue, and he baptized them there, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And my goodness, what could anybody do? Well, some of the Jewish men and women there said, these men are full of wine, new wine. But Peter stood up and said, no, it's only in the ninth hour. It's only in the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. And they were not drunken. But he said, this is that which the prophet Joel said. So let's read Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 16 to 21, and let's see what the scripture says. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it will happen in the last days. God says, I will put out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. And your old man will dream dreams. And in those days, I'll pour out my spirit on my servants and on my maid servants, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before that great and renowned day of the Lord comes. And it will be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's what's going to happen after the tribulation of those days, my brothers and sisters. And part of the prophecy that's here is being fulfilled even in our very eyes. In May 14, 1948, the land became a nation. In 2017, President Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and he proclaimed Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. No other president, no one else have done that but Trump. And we thank the Lord that these things occurred in our lifetime. We see the prophecy going on. Ever since 1948, a lot of people have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people have given themselves over to the Lord, and they have done that which pleased the Father. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank the Lord for everything that he has done. Why would the nations mourn? Why would the nations mourn? Then we're going to go into the last verse before we continue. It says, Israel's repentance and lament about Christ. See, at this time, a lot of the Jewish people have been deceived and not taught the right thing regarding the Messiah. But because of the Dead Sea Scrolls, a lot of Jewish people are going back and studying and recognizing that what the Christians were saying was true. So a lot of the Jewish brothers and sisters are accepting what the Old Testament, the First Covenant, and what the Dead Sea Scrolls are saying about the Messiah. They're receiving Christ as the Lord and Savior, and they're being saved. And Paul spoke about it to the Ephesians and Galatians, and he called the union of Christians and Jews together as the one new man. We are the one new man. We love God. Christians and Jews together, we love God. And nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. We love him, and we took the, remember, the Jewish people had 613 commandments, but Jesus broke it down to two. He says to love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, when we love our neighbor, when we love one another, Jesus says, by this, a man would know that you are my disciples. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of the Jewish men and women who were deceived were looking for a Messiah ben Joseph and a Messiah ben David, now recognizing that in Christ Jesus was the fulfillment of that verse in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, in Bethlehem, and Ephrath, like Micah the prophet said. He came. He took care of the sin issue, because sin is what separates us from God, according to Isaiah 59:1-2. So he offered up his body as a sacrifice, and he sheds his blood, because the word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So he shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. He gave his body as a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world, just like John the Baptist introduced him to his followers, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And he shed his blood. They pierced him on his side, and water and blood came out. They buried him according to the scriptures. And on the third day, he resurrected. Glory be to the Lord. And you could read the gospel right there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. That's the gospel. Everything else that we teach, that we share, is a gift from God for our knowledge, for our understanding. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ was with his disciples for 40 days, showing them that he was alive, that it was him, with many infallible proofs. And then he told them, he gave them instructions to wait at Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was the fulfillment of Pentecost. 50 days later, after his resurrection, after the wave of the Omar, you have to count, according to Leviticus, seven Sabbaths times seven, which is 49 days. And then it says, plus the one after makes 50 days. So from the Omar, which is the first fruits when Jesus Christ resurrected, to Pentecost was 50 days. So Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days, which means that they waited on the upper room praying and getting the schisms out of the church for 10 days. And that's exactly what 10 signified in the Bible, waiting. And they wait. They waited. And when the day of Pentecost will fully come, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of the Father. And they were waiting for that. And the Holy Spirit, he's not only beside us, but he's within us. He is a paracletor, the spirit of truth, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, the spirit of God. He is the third person of the Trinity. Now, a lot of people don't believe in the Trinity. That is something that they're going to have to deal with when they go before God, because Jesus Christ will be sitting on the throne, but he's going to present his Father. He's going to present the Holy Spirit, and people will be at odds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's read the last couple of verses that we have. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 12, beginning at verse 10, down to 12, and let's see what the scripture says. And what I want you to do is you're looking at all these scriptures that we're reading, and I want you to put them all together and come up with the answer. Why were the nations born? So let's go, that's Matthew 24 and 30. Let's go to Zechariah 12, beginning at verse 10. And the word of God says, God said through the prophet Zechariah, he says, and I will pour out on the house of David, that's the Jewish people, and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me whom they have pierced. Imagine that. God is speaking, but you have to ask yourself the question, whom did they pierce? Who was pierced for us? Jesus Christ was pierced for us. He took the nails at his wrists. He took the nails at his feet. And he took the puncture wound at his side. And they will look on me whom they have pierced. And I will mourn for him and will mourn for him as one mourns for his own son, and will weep bitterly for him as one weeps bitterly for his firstborn. So what's going to happen, my brothers and sisters? The Jewish people are going to look at Jesus, and they're going to realize, you know, they're going to see the signs in his body. And this is where you have to be very careful, my brothers and sisters. There is a religion out there that says they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. However, they do not believe in the cross. And when you look at the scriptures carefully, the Jesus that they worship do not have the signs of the cross, do not have the piercings that the real Messiah has. So their Jesus Christ is a false Christ. Here, the true Messiah, the true Christ, has the piercings even right now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he's got the signs of the piercings on his wrists and on his feet and on his side. If you remember when Thomas did not believe the report that Jesus was alive, he said, I would not believe unless I touch the wounds and see the signs, see the piercings. And the second Sunday after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, and Thomas was there this time. And he called out to Thomas, and he said, Thomas, touch me, feel me. Look at the piercings. And Thomas kneeled down before him and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you believe me because you've seen. But blessed are those that have not seen and believe. That's you and I, my brothers. We have not known Jesus Christ after the flesh. We only know him after the spirit. You and I have not seen the piercings, except in the when we see the movies. So, you know, they will weep because they see the piercings. They're going to realize, some of the Jewish people are going to realize this is the true Messiah. And then it goes on in verse 11. And in that day, there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadar Rimah in the valley of Megiddo. You got to go back and study in another area in the Bible, in the New Testament, talk about Rama. There was a great cry, and if you go back to study in Megiddo, you have to understand Megiddo is the area where the 7-year tribulation is going to occur. But many wars happened in that area, and there was a great cry because many people die. Many people die. Many people will die. In verse 12, it says, and the land will mourn, each family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and the wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and the wives apart. Then it goes on to say, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, of all remaining families, each family apart, and the wives apart. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we understand that God is faithful and he will pronounce what he has done. And many people will have a problem because on that day, many people will die. Glory be to the Lord. Let's read the last one, Zechariah 13:6. It says, and someone will say to him. Now remember, Jesus Christ is coming in the clouds, and they're going to recognize who he is, and they're going to see the piercings. But someone is going to ask, will say to him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he would answer, the wounds I receive in the house of my friends. Glory be, glory be. This is how you know the true Messiah. He has the piercings to his hands, which is by the wrists, the piercings at his feet, and the piercings on his side. Now remember one thing, when Jesus died, they didn't break his legs like the other thieves. They broke the legs. When they came to him, he was already dead. He already gave up his spirit to the Father. So what they did to make sure, they pierced him in the side, and blood and water came out. And we know in the medical field that when blood and water come out, it means the heart was broken. There was a mixture of blood and water, and it came out of his body. He was already dead. So when the people sees Jesus, they're going to see the piercings of his hands. They're going to see the piercings of his feet. And they're going to see the piercings of his side. And they're going to realize, oh, my God, we really did something wrong. And when you study the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the Jewish high priest, they didn't like what Pontius Pilate wrote on the cross. Remember, he wrote it in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. And he wrote, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. And they ran back and said, don't say that he's the King of the Jews. Say that he said he's the King of the Jews. But Pontius Pilate's answer to them was, what I've written. And the Jewish people have a mystery whereby they read everything that's written, and they take the first letter of each word that's found written down. So when they read Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, and they took out the first letter, it spelled out J-H-V-H, the tetragram, the name of our Lord, our God. And you know, they realized, oh my God, we crucified God himself. And that's why the Jewish people were upset with Pontius Pilate, because he wrote that. And here we have evidence in Zechariah that, yes, this is our God. Remember, he says, I will. He's in chapter 12, beginning at verse 10. He says, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look on me whom they have pierced. Who could pull out the spirit but God himself? So Jesus Christ said the spirit of grace and the spirit of supplication. And they will look at him whom they have pierced and will mourn for him as one mourns for his own son, and will weep bitterly for him as one weeps bitterly for his first. You know, we understand, I understand, because my second son passed. He went to be home to be with the Lord, and he had a terrible accident with the motorcycle. And let me tell you, you know, I pray and I give it to God, but the pain is still there. You mourn for the lost one of your loved one. I mourn for my son, you know, but my son is not greater than Jesus Christ. So I have to give it to the Lord in prayer so the Lord could give me rest, so the Lord could give me comfort in what happened to my son. And here is the nation of Israel. They're going to look on Jesus, and they're going to realize what the Christians has been saying is true. He is the true Messiah. We're not saying that he's our Messiah, although he is our Messiah, but this is the Jewish Messiah. This is where the prophets spoke about, and Moses wrote about, and the Psalmists wrote about, and the minor prophets wrote about Jesus. It's in the Torah. It's in the Old Testament, talking about Jesus. And what happened when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found Isaiah intact. And it was almost 100% intact. And it showed that the Bible has not been altered at all. So through the Dead Sea Scrolls, they could go beyond, way back, beyond the birth of Jesus Christ. And it tells you, and it reads the ending. We could look at the ending of Isaiah 52 and chapter 53 and realize that they're talking about Jesus, because that's exactly what he went through. They waited for Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David, now realizing that in Jesus Christ is both of them in one. He came as a suffering servant, Messiah ben Joseph, and he came as a conquering king, Messiah ben David. When he comes in the air to rescue Israel, there's going to be a sign written in his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Messiah ben David, and that people will realize, you know, that this is the true Messiah. They're going to mourn because they crucified him. They did not accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So why would the nations mourn? Again, I give you the numbers, 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, and you press the number 1. Glory be to the Lord. We got about 4 minutes left to go on the program, giving you an opportunity to call in with the answer. If you have the correct answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful free pamphlet called The Tabernacle. And the pamphlet talks about the furnishings, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. Glory be, hallelujah. And, you know, if no one calls with the answer to this mystery, I'm not going to give the name, or I'm not going to give the answer out. I'll hold it for another day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll hold it for another day, and we'll use it again and see. And for next Sunday, from Revelations, what are the 7 stars and the 7 candlesticks? What are the 7 stars and the 7 candlesticks? That's our next mystery, Bible mystery. And you find that in the book of Revelation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll be back on Tuesday at 6 p.m. for our intercessory prayer. We'll be back also on Thursday, 6 p.m. for our Bible study. And we're continuing our study in, is Christianity real? Hallelujah. And then next Sunday at 6 p.m., we'll be back with the Bible mystery. We're going to have a new mystery. What are the seven stars and the seven candlesticks? Hallelujah. And if you come up with the answer, again, the church will send you out a beautiful pamphlet called the Tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. This has been a presentation from the host, The Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle, your pastor, Carlos A. Ramos, Jr. If you like, you could email the church at lowercase WTLTabernacle@gmail.com, or you could call the pastor direct if you have a concern, 772-626-3178. Glory be, glory be. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.